Chapter 4.
Well, look who finally showed up,
Rikuri mused as Zakiyu and I approached.
I was starting to think you got lost, Draco Rex.
Or that the Mirax had disobeyed you and run off. That would have been my first guess.
Nah, I was just helping Zakiyu tend the stables, that's all.
Oh, somebody's stables were definitely being tended.
Ashanti snickered.
Look at how you two are glowing. You might as well be walking around with a sign that says, "We made it," and get it over with.
Is it really so obvious?
It definitely is.
Rikuri nodded with a shit-eating grin.
I knew what you guys were doing out there the second I saw you walking up. Nobody shows that much affection around here unless they're in a post-coital state. How would you know?
Zakiyu grumbled.
Neither of you have ever been with a man before.
No, but the signs are fairly obvious.
Ashanti shrugged.
The flushed face and chest, the sweat, the tousled hair, plus the fact you're both overly cheerful.
Maybe we did and maybe we didn't.
Zakiyu huffed as she tried to remain mysterious.
That's between the two of us and Guruwai. You did. You definitely did. Maybe that means we'll be doing this festival again very soon. We'll see. We shall see. Anyways, what do you need my oh-so-great logistical skills for?
Everything?
Ashanti snorted.
Everything?
The chocolate-haired rhino woman repeated.
Yeah, everything. You know how Batara gets when you're not here to keep her in check? She wants to include a dance to Tembori in this festival when we're all sitting around the fire. Tembori! Oh.
Zakiyu cringed.
I guess she does need my help then. Where is she? She's down the main palace building. Probably freaking out and wondering where you are. I should probably get going then.
Zakiyu sighed before she turned to me.
I'll see you later tonight, Ben.
So what? Just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and then you run off?
What do you mean?
The chocolate-haired Cheryl woman questioned with a puzzled expression. I'm just kidding. I waved my hand at the woman. Just go and help Batari. Zakiyu leaned in, gave me a peck on the cheek, and then ran off to help her queen mother. That left me alone with Rikuri and Ashanti, both of whom were hard at work carving small figurines out of wood. I recognized the crude shapes of the figures almost instantly. They were the same warthog human figures I'd seen all over the fertility hut when Batari and I had made love. It was Guruwai, the Chero people's goddess of fertility.
You know, Draco Rex,
Rikuri chuckled as she glanced up at me.
This is all your fault. You had to go and get our leader pregnant. Now we're stuck here making dozens of Guruwai figures before the ceremony. We still have about 10 more to go, and the festival's in just a few hours.
I'm sorry? I half apologized, half asked. I didn't realize that.
She's messing with you, Draco Rex.
Ashanti interrupted.
You saved us 3 different times now, you know. You and your crew could walk through the village screaming insults, and we wouldn't say a word.
You have cemented yourself as a Chero legend,
Rikuri added.
Right up there with the likes of Barkiyu and Zarkiti and Pantaru as the greatest warriors to have ever graced our land.
I think you're forgetting one, Rikuri. You need to have yourself on that list.
Oh, please. I'm nowhere near the warrior any of those women were. Besides, if I was, then they'd probably still be around.
Ashanti stopped her carving, placed it on the ground beside her, and shot Rikuri a death glare. All the while, Rikuri just continued on with her whittling.
Come on now,
Ashanti growled.
You know you can't blame yourself for that. They chose to ride their land dragons out to fight the Scudawar, and they paid the ultimate price.
Perhaps if I'd been there, though...
The hornless Chero began, but her friend cut her off instantly.
If you'd gone out there, you would have been killed too. And where would we be right now without you, Rikuri? As much grief as we give you, you're the glue that holds our friendship true together. I love Batari, but the two of us would feel empty and pointless if you weren't around.
I appreciate the kind words.
Rikuri grumbled.
But that doesn't change the fact I should have been out there in that battle, and the fact that my name doesn't belong in the same sentence as those other warriors.
For what it's worth, you are one of the greatest warriors I've ever met. You came very close to actually defeating me in hand-to-hand combat, and that's something not even most of my crewmates can say.
The key word there is almost.
Rikuri mused with a wry smirk.
I may have been the one holding the sword to your neck at the end of the battle, but that was only because you yielded to me after you had me beat.
Still, I continued to try and pump her up. You came closer than most of my enemies. I mean, shit, Karnog's fought me twice now, and he seems to have gotten worse with each encounter.
Who is Karnog?
Ashanti inquired.
Is that one of your other crewmates?
Nah, Karnog's my Gary Oak. The Dr. Loomis to my Michael Myers. My Draco Malfoy. And I totally realize you don't get those references, which is a shame because they're perfect.
So he's an adversary?
Rikuri concluded.
I would have figured you didn't have many of those. I always thought you finished the job when all was said and done.
Normally I do, but Karnog is like a damn cockroach. I swear he'll be alive long after the heat death of the universe, snarling at me with those brown, rotting teeth and staring me down with his sea glass eye. Still, you could easily kick his ass.
That still doesn't make me a legendary warrior.
Maybe not, I shrugged. But your number one is...
Don't!
The hornless Chera woman groaned and rolled her eyes.
I swear to Tambori, if you say you're number one in my eyes, I'm gonna pummel you.
Then you'll have a shot at reclaiming your title, I offered with a coy grin.
Why don't you go take a rest, Draco Rex?
Ashanti suggested.
I'm sure you're exhausted after a non-stop day of traveling, killing, and screwing.
Yeah, I am. But I also don't want to feel like a lazy piece of crap, so I want to know what I can do to help.
This guy here!
Rikuri pointed with her thumb and laughed.
I can see why people love him. He's got so much spunk.
Go out to the fire pit. Zamway should be getting everything ready out there. If anybody has tasks that need to be done, it's her.
The fire pit. I nodded. Got it. Good luck on your totems. I quickly dashed down the street and to the edge of the village. Then I scanned the horizon for the place where we would host our festival, and I recognized a large pile of sticks all the way off to the west. As I got closer, I realized just how giant this fire was going to be. The cloudbrush trees were piled up nearly two stories high, and the bottom of the stack was covered with dry grass and all sorts of tiny sticks for kindling. Zamwe was the only Chero currently at the pit, so she was alone in dragging branches over and then tossing them onto the woodpile. Damn! Did you put all this together yourself?
I did.
Zamwe nodded.
Impressive, is it not?
It really is. My only question is, do you think it might be too much? That's going to be a giant-ass fire.
It's only appropriate,
the shaman mused.
Particularly since this is a momentous occasion. The first natural-born Chero child. Though I will be happy with whatever the gender is, I do hope it's a boy. Could you imagine what a Chero man would look like?
In all honesty, it'd probably look like your god of the underworld. He's a guy, and aren't you all designed in his image?
Shh!
Zamwe placed her fingers against her lips and hissed out a warning.
Today is a day of celebration, Draco Rex. We don't even dare utter the name of the Dark One today. However, I have a feeling that's accurate. Unfortunate, but accurate.
I'll just be happy when it's finally here. I've already got a bunch of children, but I'm nervous as hell for this next batch.
Oh?
The shaman raised an eyebrow.
What troubles you about this batch, Draco Rex?
Oh, it's not troubling, per se. I trailed off as I tried to think of the correct words. I'm just nervous. All of my children so far have been dragonkin, which is the species I am right now. But the next wave of my offspring are going to come from women of a different species. I've got two Nirlope women back home who are ready to pop, and then I have at least one Morpho woman who's pregnant. Then there are both Lazan and Nadir, who will be having their children probably around the same time as the Morpho woman. Now there's a Chero in the mix.
It sounds like you've been a busy man.
I'm just nervous the kids will come out weird or won't really have their mother's traits or... I don't know. I just want everything to go smoothly, that's all. Zamwe threw out her arms in a wild gesture.
That's why we're putting this together for you, Draco Rex. The Festival of Fertility will go a long way in appeasing the goddess Guruai and ensuring that Batari has a healthy, happy pregnancy.
So I actually have a question about that. How much do you guys know about your own pregnancies? Like, this is something that's literally never happened before, so are you just playing it by ear?
In a way, yes.
Zamwe nodded.
Since we've never had the ability to get pregnant, all we know is what's written in our legends. Guruai herself has had multiple pregnancies, and she's offered our people advice many times on the subject.
But Guruai is a warthog. Isn't she technically a different species?
Whatever do you mean?
The shaman looked confused.
The advice of our gods is universal. Sure, Guruai looks nothing like us Chero people, but none of them do. Other than the Lord of the Underworld, of course.
Okay. Do you know how long the pregnancy lasts? Do you have any idea of what I need to do to help? Are there any special rules that go along with a Chero pregnancy? I know with the Kunag women, their pregnancies require them to be within close proximity of the father at all times.
It's hard to say what all comes with a Chero pregnancy. Most of the stories about Guruwa don't speak about her pregnancy specifically. They just make passing references to her pregnancy within the context of the tale.
Like what?
Well...
The shaman pondered as she ran a hand through her long brown hair.
There was the tale of Guruwa's battle with the great beast of the ocean. She was said to have been pregnant for one moon cycle at that point.
Okay, so that's a start. We know Chero pregnancies last at least 1 month. Was there ever a story that talked about when she gave birth?
Not exactly.
Zamwe shook her head.
Guruwa just appears with a child in one of the later stories. The one where she tricks Tambori into giving her freedom from the Great Cloud Brush.
Wait. I tried to make sense of everything being said. You said she shows up in a later story, right? Do you have any idea how much later?
There is much debate amongst our people as to when that occurred.
Zamwe shrugged.
Some say it happened in the 3,000th season cycle of the land, while others believe the story takes place 6,000 season cycles into our existence.
Great. So that meant a Chero woman could be pregnant anywhere between 4 weeks and 6,000 years. I guess we'll have to play it by ear then. I finally conceded. Hopefully it doesn't take Batari thousands of season cycles to have their child.
It almost certainly won't.
Zamwe chuckled as she reached into the pouch on her hip, produced some powder from inside, and then tossed it onto the fire pit.
Though, could you imagine? I'm not even sure we Chero people are meant to live for that long.
What is that, anyways? I pointed to the bag on Zamwe's hip as I watched her sprinkle the powdery substance onto the pit. Some sort of fertility powder?
You could say that.
The shaman smiled coyly.
It is a powder made from the ground-up testicles of a spotted hound. The goddess Guruwa blessed their species with bountiful fertility, so we spread this powder onto the fire in hopes of copying their success.
So, do you guys just have, like, a building full of dog balls around here?
Don't be ridiculous, Draco Rex.
Zamwe continued, without looking away from the fire pit.
Those particular body parts are made up of raw flesh, just like our muscles. They'd rot if we let them sit out for season cycle after season cycle. Instead, we simply burn them down into ash and then store the ash in the bags like you see here.
How much of this stuff do you have? You couldn't have stored up that much, considering you thought your species would never need it.
Oh, we have plenty.
Zamwe flipped her bag over and dumped out its remaining contents.
We've been creating the fertility powder for as long as I can remember, just in case Tambori blessed us with a man. It's a good thing we did, because it looks like our prayers have been answered, and there will be much fertility spread from your loins.
I couldn't help but blush at Zamwe's comment, but I kept my cool. I definitely intended to spread my fertility around to these rhino women as much as I could, but I also didn't want to make it seem like I had a one-track mind. I really did want to help these women solve their problems with the Scudawar and the other beasts of their island. If they wanted to reward me with a hardcore shag fest, then I guess that was just my burden to bear. We'll see about that. Let's get through one Chero pregnancy before we start going around repopulating the whole island.
No need to be modest, Draco Rex.
Zamwe smiled and placed her hands on her hips.
I'm almost certain Zakiyu will find out she's pregnant within the next few moon cycles.
What? I played dumb. Why would she be...
It's obvious what you were doing out at the stables.
The shaman raised her hand to cut me off, and she smiled widely.
You disappeared for nearly an hour after you went to return the Mirax, and Zakiyu has not stopped talking about you since you arrived. Doesn't take much to figure out what happened.
She hasn't stopped talking about me. I grinned at the thought. What's she been saying?
She didn't tell you during your romp? It's been nothing but good things, of course. Mainly about how handsome she thinks you are and how she wanted to do unspeakable things to you if she ever got you alone.
Son of a bitch. Zakiyu totally set me up. Then again, I definitely wasn't going to complain about that. If all setups ended up with me fucking a beautiful woman, maybe I'd go around acting like Mr. Gullible all the time. Interesting, I said as I played it coy. Will she get a ceremony like this if she does end up pregnant?
Of course she will.
Zamwe nodded.
None of us thought we would see the day when any Chero woman would be pregnant, so we're gonna celebrate each and every one. We certainly have enough fertility powder.
I didn't know whether to laugh or be disturbed that they had so much spotted hound testicle powder. Either way, I wanted to help out Zamwe in her preparations. "What can I help you with?" I finally asked the shaman. "The other Chero women said you might need a second pair of hands to help get everything set up."
"I don't know how much help you can be here. Unless you know the chance to the different fertility blessings, that is."
"Can't say that I do." I shook my head. "Is there anything else I can do? Like, do you need me to keep building up the fire, or to bring you certain supplies, or..."
There is one area I could use assistance in,"
the shaman finally admitted.
"We will need an effigy, a Gurawai, for the ceremony, built out of sticks taken from the sacred cloud tree."
"An effigy? What's that going to be used for? Don't tell me you're going to toss me in there and then set it on fire, right after you torture me with a cage full of bees." Zamwe raised a bushy eyebrow at me as a frown drew down her face, and the shaman quirked her head to the side as she tried to make sense of my words.
"Why would we do that? Wouldn't lighting you on fire defeat the purpose of having you help us repopulate?"
"It's from the wicker You know what? Forget I even said anything. I'll build this effigy for you, no matter what you intend to do with it. How big does it need to be?"
"Not very big. It'll need to be life-sized, and our gods and goddesses are about a foot or two taller than we are."
"Okay, so about 8 feet tall. I could totally do that. What about materials? Anything in particular I need to use other than the cloudbrush branches?"
"Just the branches, held together by mud. Everything you should need should be over by the mud pits to the east of here."
"Mud pits to the east." I nodded and gave Zamwe a salute. "Got it. I'll be back in a few with 1 8-foot-tall warthog woman effigy." I headed off to the east, and it didn't take me long before I came up to the mud pits Zamwe was talking about. 6 pits had been dug into the ground, filled with wet mud, and surrounded by a 1/2-foot-tall clay barrier around the entire perimeter. A few Chero women lounged around inside of the pits, with their bodies in various states of submersion. Some of them were in the mud all the way up to their necks, while others had their entire bodies jutting out, and others were only immersed up to their shins. It was like a varying-depth swimming pool, only a lot dirtier. Next to the pits was a giant pile of timber, composed mostly of sticks no thicker than my arm, and whose length was somewhere in between 4 and 6 feet. I could definitely work with this. The only issue was going to be how I cut them down and bound them together. Then there was the fact it needed to look like a half-human, half-warthog being. That part might be a little trickier. The Chero women needed my help, though, so I got to work as quickly as I could. I spent the next 2 hours using my sword and dagger to cut the sticks down to size and trim off their access branches. And once I had them cleaned up, I began to arrange them in the shape of Gurawai, as best as I could. I'd only seen crude statues of the fertility goddess, so it was a bit difficult to work from memory alone. Still, I eventually was able to prop up some bundle of sticks into the shape of 2 legs, slather them with mud, and then laid them out to bake in the sun. Once that was over, I got to work on the torso, which was much more difficult on account of its shape. I had to use my dagger to whittle down the sides of certain branches and give them a curved appearance, and then I eventually bundled the modified sticks all together to form a rough circular formation, caked mud all over the shape, and then set it beside the legs. The arms were simple enough to do, as they were the exact same thing as the legs, only with fingers at each of their ends. The head wasn't as bad as I thought, either. It was a tad tricky to get the snout to form, but I eventually figured out the easiest way to make that was to cut some of the branches in half and then attach them horizontally to the structure of the head. Once I had a general snout and head shape, I added 2 bulky sticks for tusks and 2 clusters of smaller ones for ears. I finished up with another layer of mud and then stood back as I awaited my creation to dry. Soon, the mud hardened into a crude adhesive. A crumbly adhesive that was going to go away the second anyone tried to assert any pressure, but an adhesive nonetheless. I got all of the component pieces in place, fastened them together with mud, and then let them dry out one last time. The whole process took about another hour, and the sun was just setting on the horizon when I finally picked up the effigy and headed back to the fire pit. As I approached, I noticed the entire village and my crew were around the fire pit. The flames were still infantile and small, and they were nowhere near the roaring, white-hot inferno they would eventually become.
"Wow,"
Zamwe gasped when she saw the effigy.
"That is beyond anything I was hoping for."
"Is that a slight in my artistic abilities that I'm hearing?"
"Of course not, Draco Rex. It's just your effigy looks much better than the ones I normally put together."
Don't be so hard on yourself, Zamway.
Batari argued.
Yeah.
Rikuri added.
I've always been a fan of your particular style.
That is just a fancy way of saying you think it's not good.
Zamway noted with a huff.
No, it's not. I'm just saying I enjoy the whole primitive and crude aesthetic.
Zamway rolled her eyes as she turned back to me.
Now that everyone's here, I suppose we should begin the festivities.
Hell yeah, we should.
I grinned. This is a huge occasion.
Indeed it is.
Zamway nodded before she turned to address the crowd.
My sisters, I stand before you here today to proclaim Guruwai has blessed our great people. She has blessed us with the greatest blessing anyone could ask for. A blessing that, until just a few days ago, we thought was impossible. A child.
The Chero women all let out a hearty in response.
Not just any child?
Ashanti declared as she stood from her seated position.
The child of our queen mother, a future leader of our people. Yes.
Zamway stared daggers at Ashanti.
It is only natural the first natural-born child of our people comes from none other than our leader herself. These circumstances are surely a sign from Guruwai, a sign that the Chero people are entering a new chapter of prosperity.
I wandered over to my crew, sat down between Mira and Nadir, and then proceeded to watch the rest of the opening ceremony. Zamway went on and on about what a blessing Batari's pregnancy was, and how it was a turning point for their species as a whole. After she was done, Batari got up and gave a rousing speech about how, though she would prioritize her child first and foremost, she would still be a leader for the Chero people. Afterwards, Baratu brought out a bunch of wine, which led to an emotional toast from Ashanti and Rikuri. Well, as emotional as the two stoic rhino women could actually be. Afterward, the festival delved into singing and dancing around the fire as people sang songs praising Batari and I, as well as wishing our child a prosperous future.
One thing is for sure,
Nima noted from behind me.
These Chero women certainly know how to do a celebration.
That's for sure. This puts all of Neris's banquets to shame.
And we've only been here a few days. If they're throwing festivals like this every other night, they truly do know how to celebrate as a people.
Ugh.
Nadir grumbled to Lazan.
Could you imagine if the Kunag women did this every time they got pregnant?
What would we even do?
Lazan argued.
We don't have any dances or rituals or songs. We'd probably just put the pregnant women at the center of a circle and throw acorns at her.
What exactly would that accomplish?
It's a symbolic ceremony, Ben.
Nadir mused.
There doesn't have to be a reason behind it.
I'm pretty sure that's the definition of symbolic. Like, literally the definition of the word is an image or action that means something deeper. You can't really go deeper if there's nothing to dive into in the first place.
I'd say that's just your opinion.
Nadir shrugged.
The Kunag do plenty of things just because they are enjoyable to do, not because they have any special meaning behind them.
Then they're not symbolic. That would be... Suddenly, my words were cut off by the sound of a screeching Mirak. Two of the oversized ants galloped onto the scene, and they were both acting like spooked horses. Zakiyu and Ashanti both ran over to the Miraks, placed their hands against the ants' heads, and tried to calm them down.
Easy there, girl.
Zakiyu purred to the ant.
It's okay, it's okay. We're here for you. Where are your riders?
We need to get to the perimeter right away.
Rikuri announced as she strode forward.
I have a bad feeling something terrible has happened to our guards. I second that notion.
Batari agreed before she turned to address the crowd.
All capable warriors, arm yourselves and get to your Miraks. Everyone else, get inside and hole up until whatever danger this is passes.
Fucker of mothers.
Mira growled as she pointed up the side of the mountain.
Look, Ben.
I followed Mira's finger to the spot where she was pointing, and I saw a series of torches slowly ascending the terrain. Two of the figures carried a bag over their shoulder, a bag that frantically shook as if there were somebody inside of it. And between my natural night sight abilities and the flicker of the torch, I quickly realized what I was looking at. It was unmistakable. There were about 30 figures scattered across the side of the mountain, and each one was very wide and muscular. The dead giveaway, however, was their skin. It was green. Orcs. There were fucking orcs on this island, and they had two of the Chero women in their grasp.